You have to be authentic. Authentically you. Well, what does that mean?
So we see the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Thursday of the third week of Lent, and we are so excited to have you because we are talking about sincerity.
We continue to reflect upon Father Fernandez's book, In Conversations with God. Yesterday, something interesting happened. We pulled out from the virtue box
a card that said sincerity.
And now today?
We're speaking about sincerity. We didn't realize that that was today's topic. So, here we go. In order to live a life which is truly human, we must have a great love for the truth, which in a way is something that is sacred and must be treated with respect and love.
So in order to be a faithful Catholic, a faithful Christian, we need to love the truth. But sometimes we get blinded to the truth, and that's where I want to start today. So there's three things that maybe we can talk about that blind us. Number one, the world. Two, flesh. Three, devil. Let's start with the devil. The devil, Jesus says, is the father of lies. So the devil will implant lies into our hearts and into our minds that prevent us from recognizing truth. So we need to be aware of that. We need to say spiritual protection prayers. One is the St. Michael prayer that we say every day. So devil, the world. The world will lie to us about what is true without the help of the devil. And it's just also good to be aware of that, that the devil is not behind every single rock, but the world is pretty good at lying to us too, because we live in a world that is fallen. But this is where I want to give a little bit more attention, the flesh. The flesh, in one sense, lies to us. We have a concupiscence, a tendency to drift away from God than to go towards God. And you've heard this from us before. But sometimes when we see the truth about ourselves, and we realize there's something that's not right in there, our flesh is so weak that we're like, I just don't want to deal with that. And so there could be a little bit of that within us. The truth is demanding. It causes a response. And so sometimes we just don't want to put the effort in and just, I'll deal with that later. But here's another thing. Sometimes our flesh is wounded. We've been wounded by the world. We've been wounded by relationships with people. And so because there's wounds in our heart, we may be able to perceive the truth, but our wounds, because they're infected with maybe bitterness or anger, prevent us from really embracing the truth. Mm-hmm. So intellectually, we might be able to recognize truth, but we can't respond because we seem paralyzed. And this is sort of what the wounds do when we look at truth. Got a pair of these. So we see the truth, but with the sunglasses on, symbolizing the wound, it doesn't look the way it's supposed to look. And so if you placed before me green and red and blue and didn't tell me which color was green, red, or blue, I would actually have difficulty telling because these are tinted. They probably all kind of look about the same, I'm guessing, I'm not sure. But that's what a wound does sometimes. It clouds us. We can't see the truth for exactly what it is. And so there could be an infinite amount of examples, but here's one. Let's say we have a really poor relationship with our earthly father. So when it comes to trying to understand the love of God the Father and the truths about love of God the Father, we can't relate because our father in our life maybe has been absent or he's been abusive. Or he's just been emotionally distant in our life. And so what happens, we hear God, the Father loves us, but this is how we see. Well, my earthly father was abusive, or he was emotionally distant, or not consistent in his love, whatever it might be. So to be aware of that, so what do we do? Well, in those wounds that we have, we might have judgments, we might have vows that we've made. We could spend hours and hours talking about this stuff, but I think it's just too important to realize that and then to place those wounds in the presence of God and ask Him to heal. I mean, I think that's a starting point. Ask Him to heal the wounds that prevent us from seeing truth.
It is so easy to accept a lie when it comes to the aid of our laziness, flatters our vanity, or our sensuality, or encourages in us a false sense of prestige. Sometimes the cause of insincerity is vainglory, pride, or even a fear of looking foolish. I feel like this is so true, you know, for our my life. And I've just seen it so many times where, you know, people are willing to do things that are not very moral just to protect themselves, you know, not choose to be sincere about a situation because they are worried to offend, or they're afraid to wreck their reputation, or they're afraid to rock the boat. You know, let's all just get along to go along, you know? We don't ever want to really speak up. And I think that this isn't what Jesus did. And even when it comes to fear of looking foolish, like how often do we try to make our children look a certain way in front of people because we don't want people to think, oh, those Yuzinski kids, they're out of control. Or, you know, even like trying to look like we, like when I'm at the grocery store, I'm like, oh, I hope I don't run into anybody because look at all the junk in my cart, or, you know, things like that. It's just so silly. Like, we just need to be sincere and honest. And maybe if there are things, you know, that we aren't super proud about, then maybe we should take a look at that. There's a great deal of talk today about sincerity, authenticity, and so on. But despite it, people tend to hide themselves in anonymity and often disguise the true motives of their actions and conceal them from themselves and from others. Okay, so this right away makes me think of online. Everything, you know, there was a time in our life where there was no online Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, places where you can comment and share your opinion kind of anonymously. So I just find it so interesting because I see that there is a lot of this going on in the world, and I really try to stay away from it because I can tell how it steals my peace. But at the same time, you know, like even when you learn about how to be more present on social media, it's like you have to be authentic, authentically you. Well, what does that mean? There's this quote by St. Irenaeus that says, "The glory of God is man fully alive." Well, that's our true authentic self, is when we are fully alive in Christ. Mm. And, you know, not to be somebody else or to have a filter on your face when you're taking a selfie, or, you know, it's just, you know, I get it because I fall into those traps myself. But at the same time, I think the Lord, the only way that we can truly be authentic is when we find our identity in Christ. Sincerity puts us on our guard against fabricating the truth or pretending that what suits us is true. Like those who try to deceive themselves by saying that for them, something forbidden by God's law is not a sin. Subjectivity, our passions, lukewarmness can all contribute towards our not being sincere with others. The person who does not live this radical sincerity easily deforms his conscience and falls victim to interior blindness as regards the things of God. Okay, so this brings me back to our girls' weekend last weekend. It was funny. Okay, so one of my sister-in-laws was trying something on in one of the change rooms at the mall, and we get a text on our phone. Oh, I need a second opinion. Can somebody come tell me? And I told my other sister-in-law, I'm like, you better go because I'm just going to say it's going to look nice. Because I know that about myself. I know that I don't want to offend someone or be like, oh, that doesn't quite suit you. Or because I think maybe I'm a sensitive person and I don't want people to be criticizing me.
I do point out, though, that you have no trouble telling me if something doesn't look quite right, which I appreciate.
And then also just, you know, in different conversations, just, you know, if someone asks you your opinion on a moral question, you know, what should I do? You know, I find I tend to want to go not to give them my first initial, truthful reaction, but kind of like ease it over. You know, have you ever heard of the term sandwiching something, you know, where you try to make it seem a little bit better and then maybe slide in a little bit of truth and then like make it seem a little bit better at the very end? And I don't know if that's actually very helpful.
Mm. One of the things that stood out to me in that passage that you read was that sometimes things that suit us aren't necessarily true just because we find it agreeable. That doesn't mean it's true. So if we look at our lifestyle, and our lifestyle is contrary to some of the teachings of the church, whether we find that lifestyle comfortable or not, is irrelevant. Because our feelings are not a good indicator of what is true or not. Our feelings are up, our feelings are down. Truth is objective. It's either right or it's wrong.
That's right.
And so because we feel comfortable in a certain situation and our lifestyle, it doesn't mean that we're living the truth. So three ways that we can develop the virtue of sincerity with our relationship with God.
The means that we first have to use in order to be sincere is prayer. Ask our Lord to let us see our errors, the defects of our character. Ask Him for strength to acknowledge them as such, and for the courage to ask His help in the inevitable struggle.
Okay, there's certain prayers that you might ask that God might not answer directly, but this is not one of them. When you ask God to show you your weakness, He does. He does. We don't have to worry about Him not answering this prayer because He wants to uproot everything that's separating us from Him. Now, a devotion that you can develop to help with this, to see your defects as they are, is a devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. The first sorrow of Mary is the prophecy of Simeon in the temple. And part of that prophecy is he has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So if you want your deepest secrets of your heart to be revealed, ask Our Lady of Sorrows to help you see them.
Secondly, we have the daily examination of conscience, short but effective, by means of which we get to know ourselves.
So at the end of the day, we take inventory of our life and just ask ourselves, have we lived the life that God would have us live? Remember, Jesus says, those who seek will find. If you're not looking for your weaknesses to be revealed, don't expect to find them. But then it's going to help us with the next step, number three here.
Next comes spiritual direction and confession, really opening our souls, telling the whole truth, disclosing our innermost thoughts so that those who direct us can help us on our way towards God. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you are doing a regular examination of conscience, just daily, that can help you to be aware of what are some of those habitual sins. And then even before confession, going through a more thorough examination of conscience, just so that you make sure that you haven't missed anything.
Yeah, one of my struggles is that just getting out of the door for church
With six kids
doesn't really help me prepare. Like I'm just flustered sometimes. Mm-hmm. So unless I prepare well in advance, I'm not going to be ready by the time we get to church.
Yeah, you got to be planned.
Do you have anything else to add today?
No. If you have yet to go to confession this Lent, we really encourage you to get there because you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. I heard the priest share in his homily this Sunday, he said, Jesus will take nothing from you but give you everything.
Amen. Okay. So thanks for watching. Please share with us below what stood out to you and why. We always look forward to reading your thoughts, and pray the rosary along with us right up there. And of course, we'll see you tomorrow, which is Friday. God bless you.